It's a Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and I'm going to share with you a story about the Inyan of Tshuva. The Tzemach Tzedek had a chassid who had a son who had some problems. His son grew up going to cheder, like a regular Hasidic home, Hasidic home. He went to cheder, learned Torah. And then when he grew older, he had bad friends and stopped going to class. He always played outside, never wanted to go into class to learn Torah. And he started playing outside until he got worse and worse. And when he got older, he stopped going to cheder altogether. And then slowly, he stopped doing one mitzvah and another mitzvah, stopped keeping Shabbos, eating kosher, till he left completely the whole way of Torah and mitzvahs. But he stayed at home. His father was very upset. And no matter how much the father talked to him that he needs to do tshuva, it didn't work. When he got older, his father was a very wealthy man. He had big businesses, a lot of businesses. He was very rich. And his son joined the business. He helped his father in the business, but he didn't want to do tshuva. He didn't want to, you know, follow the path of Torah and mitzvahs. The father was very upset about it, but he couldn't do anything about it because he tried. And his son was with him in the business and helped him, but he didn't want to do any mitzvahs, nothing. One time it was the night of the Seder, and the son was at the Seder with his father and the whole family. In the middle of the Seder, the son wanted to eat bread. So he had a little bag next to him and pulled out a loaf of bread. It's to everybody's surprise and shock. How did he bring in bread here? It's Pesach. Everybody was so shocked. When the son saw how the father was like white, he turned literally white from shock that the son would take out a loaf of bread in the middle of Pesach, middle of a Seder. It was terrible. The father almost fainted, almost had a heart attack. So the son put away the bread, and he was very a little bit embarrassed that he caused so much pain to his father, and he didn't talk about it. After Pesach, the father realized he can't take this anymore. He went to the Tzemach Tzedek and cried. He said, Tzemach Tzedek, I don't know what to do about my son. I don't know how to bring him back. He did this terrible thing. He would go so far to take bread in the middle of the Seder. So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him, I can't help him. But I think you should go to the Rishna, the Holy Rishna. The Rishna might be able to do something about it. So that's the go to the Rishna, tell him that I sent you, and that you and take your son with you. The Rishna might be able to change him. So the Chassid thought himself, while the Tzemach Tzedek is telling him this in Yechidus, my son is never going to agree to go with me to see a tzaddik, a rebbe. He doesn't want to go to rebbes. He's not interested in Torah and mitzvahs. For sure, not going to come with me on a trip. As he's thinking that, the Tzemach Tzedek says to him, okay, if you wonder how to take your son and get him to come with you to the Rishna, don't tell him you're going to a tzaddik. Tell him you're going to see a very rich man, and we're going to discuss business with him. I need you to come with me, so maybe we can do some business with this very rich man in the city of Rishon. And this way he'll go with you. Now that the Rishon used to have a fancy house. You know, the Rishon, the way he served Hashem, he wasn't interested in money. He wasn't into gashmias, into physical things. He was a tzaddik, he was a holy man. He couldn't care less about the whole world. But Olam Hazeh, the physical world, didn't interest him. He was a man who was a holy person, a very big tzaddik. But he served Hashem by using a lot of stuff in the physical world to show the Jewish people that the whole world was created for a Jew, for a tzaddik. That people shouldn't think that the physical world, because Jewish people in those days were very oppressed. They were, they suffered from the goyim. They didn't have a lot of money. Jews were deprived. They couldn't have the types of jobs that the goyim were able to have. And many Jews lived in poverty, and they felt like very down, that we can't, we have to starve, we don't have all the physical things because we're in Golus. And he wanted to lift people up and say, no, when Hashem created the physical world, he created the physical world for a Jew to be able to use it for Torah and mitzvahs. That is the purpose why Hashem created the physical world, not so that the goyim can become full of themselves and be very proud how rich they are. That's not what the purpose is. So he wanted to show this. So he would, have a fancy house, and he had a big wagon, very fancy wagon with like four horses, very expensive horses, and he would wear like golden buttons on his clothes, and fancy shoes. But as they said, but that is only on the outside. It looked like he's behaving like somebody who is like a poritz, who has a lot of money and showing off his money, but that's not really truth, because when people checked his shoes, they noticed that the shoes don't have the sole, the bottom of the shoe. He would have fancy shoes. On the outside, it looked like fancy, but on the bottom, where you walk on, right, the floor of the shoe wasn't there. And when he walked outside in the winter, people noticed drops of blood coming out of his feet. They didn't realize why. Till somebody checked the shoes, saw that there was like a huge hole in the bottom, which means his feet would touch the ice outside and would get stuck, and sometimes it would cause bleeding in the feet. So on the outside, he looked like very fancy and very rich, and like and there were people that didn't like Hasidim and didn't like religious Jews, and they went and told the Tsar that the Rishoner is behaving like a king. He has a palace, and he has horses like a king, like a fancy, fancy wagon. And that's what got him into trouble. In the end, the Tsar arrested him because people made up a false accusation. They said that the Rishoner wants to become the next Tsar. He wants to overthrow the government, which is ridiculous. Why would the Rishoner would want to become a Tsar over a bunch of goyim? It would become a king. But anyways, the Rishoner had like fancy, fancy stuff, beautiful stuff, huge house, and inside was like very expensive furniture. It looks like the palace. So the father was going to tell his son, and he told his son, come with me, we're going to go to see a rich man, and maybe we can have some business with him that will make us also, we'll be able to make a lot of money this way. When the son heard that, he said, okay, I'll go with you. Yeah, so maybe we can do some big business with this rich man. But he didn't tell him, the father didn't tell him that this is the Rishoner. All right, so this way he's going to trick him to come to the Rishoner. And we'll see how the Rishoner can maybe change him. They traveled to Rishon. When they got to the house of the Rishoner, the son saw it like a huge, like a mansion, a palace. He was like amazed. Wow. Well, who can afford such an expensive home? And they walked inside, and they see like the rooms, and they're like decorated with such fancy, fancy decorations. It looks like a very fancy house of a very, very rich person. So the father says to the son, listen, you see this fancy house? This belongs to a very rich person. I'm going to go inside his office. It's deep inside the house if they go to his office. I'm going to talk to him first about business. You wait outside. And then I will discuss who we are, and then I'll come out, and then you'll go in and finish off the deals with him, right? You'll discuss with him the actual deals we're going to make together. Okay, so the father walks into the Rishoner's room, and he says to the Rishoner, I was sent to you by the Tzemach Tzedek. And he starts crying. He says, I have a son who is completely not interested in Torah mitzvahs, until the point came when at the night of the Seder, he pulled out a piece of bread in front of everyone, in the middle of the Seder, and ate a piece of bread. and I don't know what to do. It's such a terrible thing. And he's cried and cried and says, Rebbe, maybe you can help me. The Tzemach Tzedek says that you may be able to help him. The Rishoner comforts him and says to him, stop crying. Listen, every Jew has an neshama. An neshama is a chelek alakai, is a spark of Hashem, a part of Hashem. It's just that it's covered up with many layers of dust and all kinds of nonsense, and that doesn't let the neshama shine openly. But with a little bit of help from Hashem, we're able to clean up all the dust, and then his neshama will begin to shine again. He'll want to do Torah mitzvahs. Tell your son to come in. Father walks out and tells his son, okay, now it's time for you to go into this rich man and finish your business. So the son walks in, but as he opens the door and takes one look at who is sitting in the desk and who is there, it's a tzaddik, a rebbe. He realized he was fooled. So he decided to walk out again. But the Rishoner took a look at him and looked at him straight in the eyes and said to him like this, you come here. And the penetrating look, when a tzaddik looks at someone, the look can go into your kishkes, right, into your heart and change you, right? It's the look of a tzaddik. The Rishoner stared at him so deeply that he just listened to what the Rishoner said. The Rishoner said, come with me. And he takes him to another room. And that other room was covered with very expensive mirrors. All the walls were covered, one mirror, another mirror, another mirror. Very expensive mirrors. It was famous that the Rishoner used to buy very expensive mirrors in Petersburg, right? With Leningrad, which is the capital of Russia, where all the fancy stuff used to be. And you should have a siddur go to Petersburg to buy very, very expensive mirrors. And many people would wonder, why would a tzaddik need mirrors on the wall, right? He's a tzaddik. I mean, a tzaddik doesn't look in the mirror to see if his tie looks straight, right? Or his shtreimel looks straight on the head. Tzaddikim, don't look in mirrors. Why he needed, not only mirrors, he needed fancy, fancy, very expensive mirrors, like they're very expensive, they're the best. The nicest, only like kings have these types of mirrors. They're so beautiful and so fancy. But nobody understood that this was all a deeper thing. And so he takes this young man with him to that room with the mirrors. It was the room with the mirrors. And he said to the young man, look at this mirror first. Take the first mirror, said, look inside the mirror. And the boy starts looking at me and says, well, I see myself. He says, now look a little more, a little longer. Suddenly the boy sees like a movie and coming, developing in the mirror. He sees like a scene. He sees himself as a little child. When he went to cheder, he's sitting there in the classroom and learning Torah with the teacher. And he seems to daven with everybody, doing the right thing. Everything was good. Then the Rishoner shows him, now look at the second mirror. Takes him to the second mirror, and he sees when he gets older and how he suddenly he doesn't want to go to class anymore, and he wants to hang out outside class all day with other boys who were not also like him. They didn't like learning. And then he's beginning to feel like, oh, why did I do that? It was so beautiful when I learned Torah. And it feels a little bad, you know. Why would I, you know, suddenly stop going to class and stop learning Torah? It was so beautiful to learn and to learn with my Rebbe and daven so nicely. It was so nice. This is strange that I did this. And then he says to him, come, look at the third mirror now. Now he sees where he gets even older. He's already passed his bar mitzvah. And now he's starting to go hang out in the streets with Goyim and with other kids that are doing bad things. And, you know, one Goy offers him a candy or something which is not kosher, and he takes it and he eats it. And it's the first time he eats something which is not kosher. And then he sees how he's starting to do more averes. And then the Rishoner takes him to a fourth mirror and says, look, look in that mirror. And here he sees where he gets even older. Right, he's already 17, 18, And he's beginning to do a lot of averes until he stops doing all mitzvahs, no tefillin, no Shabbos, no kosher, nothing. He's leading a life like a goy, doing every possible avera in the world. And he's beginning to feel inside really, really sick. Why did I do that? Why would I do this? Until he got to the last mirror, and there he sees suddenly in that mirror how the family is sitting down by the Seder on the night of Pesach, and how he watches himself sitting at the Seder with a bag next to him, and how in the middle of the Seder he decides to take out a loaf of bread to eat the bread because he wanted to eat bread at the meal. You know, he doesn't like eating matzah, crackers. He wanted to eat bread, and his father, he sees his father's face turning white in such shock that the son would do such a thing. And finally, the boy says, "Wow, I can't believe I did this. I made my father feel so bad. And why would I do such a thing?" And he gets so sick inside, he starts throwing up. Right there in the middle of the room with the Rishoner, he starts throwing up. And he turns to the Rishoner and cries. He says, "Rebbe, I can't believe this is my life. Can you please help me do tshuva?" And the Rish says, "Come with me. We'll sit down in my room. Let's go back to the room. And we'll talk about your tshuva." He gave him a way to do tshuva. And this boy changed completely his life and became very close to the Rish. And he used to come to him a lot and be his chassid. This is the amazing thing about the story is something we can learn from that. See, very often we do something bad, but we don't realize how bad it is. When somebody else does it, it's easier for us to see how bad it is. When we do it, we don't see it. Sometimes if you think, if you watch yourself in a movie, what you did, as if you are somebody else watching it, like this boy, he was watching his own life like he was watching a movie. In the mirrors of the Rishoner's house, suddenly began to realize how awful is what he did. When he did it himself, he didn't feel it was awful. The Yitzhar, I like to do it, it feels good. But when you watch yourself doing it, as if you're somebody else, you're a spectator, you're watching it, you realize how awful, how terrible it is. So this is we can do tshuva. We can do tshuva today, in the 10 days of tshuva, try to think and go through your mind the kinds of things you did that you know were not supposed to, you weren't supposed to do. Right? There were bad things, not good things. But imagine that you are somebody else watching yourself do it. Sometimes it can give you a feeling, I wish I didn't do it. And that's tshuva. When you get that feeling, I wish I didn't do it. I can't believe I did this. This is me? I actually did this? It's hard to believe. And that's tshuva. Tshuva means that you feel regretful. And that's what this boy went through. A Gemara Chasim et Tevim, and this is a special time, as the Rebbe says, Hashem is closer to us during these 10 days. Hashem draws very close to us. It's much easier for us to watch our averes and see how awful they are, because the closer Hashem is to us, the more these averes begin to look awful. And so we should all be doing tshuva with simcha. As the Rebbe says, tshuva has to be with a simcha. A good, freilichen, gemar chasim et tovah.